Of course, I go by the name of the kid. Famous. Wow. This here is the Tim and Sid Show. You are now tuned in, coast to coast, entertaining the masses. Sports entertainment.
Yeah.
It's about to get started. Sit back, enjoy the show in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Let's go.
It's Tim and Sid from Monday, September 28th. I'm Tim McAuliffe. He's Sid Sixero. We're live on TV and radio. Programming note, because of the Jays-Rays wildcard series, Sid and I won't be on air tomorrow or Wednesday, which means we've got to get all of our Jays opinions in today. You're going to want to stick around for those because there are some ish to talk about. Dan Shulman will join us in the next hour. He will add on to those opinions as the Jays get set to prepare for their first playoff game in 4 years. Game one, Tampa, tomorrow. Coverage begins on Sportsnet. 4 p.m. Eastern coverage on Sportsnet. 590 The Fan goes basically all day long.
That is correct, Timmy. Also, Tim, the socially distanced champagne is on ice tonight. In Edmonton. Game 6, Stanley Cup Final. Coverage begins at 7:30 p.m. Eastern on both CBC and Sportsnet. Lightning are a win away. Jim Houston, who's basically called enough bubble hockey to last a lifetime, is calling the final tonight. Shout out he and Chris Cuthbert and everyone in the crew, for that matter. I mean, everybody in the crew. Jim will be joining us here next hour. Tim and I will also get our crack at week 3 in the NFL. Tim, the NFL, there's going to be a lull here with basketball. There's going to be a lull here with baseball. There's going to be a lull here, well, normal offseason for baseball, but a lull with the NHL before those next seasons eventually get underway. The way it's been, though, the NFL's on fire, man. I know it's 2-3 days a week. It will tide me over. I'm telling you, the NFL's been so good, it's going to tide me over, in theory, until all those other leagues kick back up, and I'm having a good time with it. Week 3 is being capped tonight, by the way. Chiefs and Ravens. It's going to be fun.
Just the Chiefs and Ravens.
Quick question, Tim. I'm up by 32 points in my fantasy league, and the other person has Lamar Jackson. Who would you rather be, me or the person who owns Lamar Jackson?
The person who owns Lamar Jackson in the fantasy pool, I would rather be. First off, no one cares about your fantasy league, but you're asking me.
I think everybody cares. I just started a wild debate on social media.
You don't even. I just did. Your league doesn't even mean anything because you're not playing for money. I'm sorry. If you're in a league that doesn't play for money, shut the hell up.
Bragging rights. More important than money, Tim.
Nope.
Bragging rights last forever. Money comes and goes.
That's like the guy in the sports book who bet $5 yelling.
I'm not that guy. Don't even compare me.
And the guy beside him. Bet $15,000 on the bet, and he's going, come on, let's
go. Don't do that.
First down, Chiefs.
Don't do that. Do you remember the Cam Stewart thing that we recorded one day during a Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Like Cam, love Cam. Cam could gamble and had real stakes. And there was probably people around him betting $20 on the under in the first half or something ridiculous like that.
Right.
And it affected him deeply, and it affected me deeply watching him being affected that deeply. Shout out Cam. But
Cam's
no, I'm not that
square.
Guy.
Cam's got 15 G's hanging on the line.
He's got the corner. He's got a square. He's got 1-6. Let's go. Let's go. All right, we'll get to all that in a second. There's a lot to unpack, so to speak.
Oh,
but Tim, as mentioned, we are 24 hours away from postseason Blue Jays baseball. Seems like a good place to start the show, so let's do that.
Yeah, let's do it. Time of the Lead brought to you by the new season of Family Feud Canada on CBC and CBC Gem. MLB postseason gets underway with a bang tomorrow. 4 American League wildcard series getting underway. Blue Jays, Rays. Game 1 goes just after 5 p.m. Eastern first pitch. Buck Martinez, Joe Siddle will have the call alongside Hazel May. Blue Jays Central, full one-hour pregame show starting at 4 p.m. Eastern. There is a huge slate of baseball for your viewing enjoyment yesterday. Sydney, how excited are you? We'll simple here. Before we get into the rotation and all of the consternation that follows the Jays' rotations, let me just ask you this. How excited are you for Blue Jays October baseball?
Woo! Tim, give me two claps and a Ric Flair.
Woo!
Woo! We're a little off, but whatever.
Yep.
You get the point. That's how excited I am, McAuliffe. And I don't know what MLB's slogan is for this postseason. I haven't seen any commercials yet. I know unpredictable was the Stanley Cup slogan for their end of season, which made a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe it should be something like, who knows? It should be something like, I don't know. You're talking about a best of three series? We're going back to when you played playoff series in the 1920s, when travel was an issue and the economy was an issue. This, we are throwing back so hard with these best of threes. I love it. And yes, the Dodgers can lose to Milwaukee. Yes, the Jays can win in Tampa. Yes, Cleveland or New York are going to win that. Who knows who's going to win that series? There are no surprises to me. Zero. And that's what I'm more excited about than anything else. This is going to be a turkey shoot. This is going to be one of the wilder things we have seen in sports in quite some time. And I don't know if you could tell. I'm excited.
This is going to be like a Falcons game. Can this team be convinced?
Except teams hold leads. Except teams hold leads once in a while.
That they're the dangerous one with nothing to lose. Or do the playoffs add pressure that these kids have never seen before? I think that's the question. I think it's the key. Like, is this the team that went into Yankee Stadium and got their doors blown off? Or are they the one we basically saw for the rest of the season? One thing for sure, I know the Jays brass are playing it like we're the young and dangerous team in a way that they might just buy in. So the big news of the day, however, is the rotation. Toronto announces the rotation for the three-game series, and it's making a little bit of noise. Matt Shoemaker gets game number one. Hyunjin Ryu gets game number two. Taiwan Walker game three versus the Rays. Now, Sid brought this up to me when the playoff schedule was announced. Okay, there are a few folks asking if you put your ace in game two because it's either a closeout game or a do-or-die game two in a three-game series. Though I'm not sure many Jays fans agree based on the reaction thus far. Here's Charlie Montoyo on the thinking of putting Hyunjin Ryu, their ace, in game two. Run it.
In a three-game series, you know, the goal is to win two of them, you know, so putting our ace in the middle makes sense to us and for several reasons. So, plus our bullpen's fully rested, and, you know, we said we were going to be creative from the beginning, and that's one of the reasons how we got here, being creative, and to be one of the best teams in baseball, we're going to have to be creative. Also, you know, when you look at their starters, they all got the extra days off because they clinched before we did. So, because we couldn't clinch as soon as they did, we're also giving our A's an extra day off. So, we're actually doing the same thing they're doing, you know, except, you know, our A's pitching in the second game. Actually, they got four A's over there.
Okay. So, there's a natural tough follow-up. And Steve Simmons asked that natural tough follow-up. Run that.
Are you possibly overthinking this when the history of the game is opening day, you go with your best pitcher? First game of the World Series, you go with your best pitcher. That's as long as I can remember.
Yeah, and but things have changed, you know, and you look at the numbers, we're looking at the numbers and our best chances, and that's how we came out with.
Boom.
Good for Charlie. Boom. With the things have changed.
Boom.
Quite drastically.
You can't throw Charlie a changeup and not expect him to hit it once in a while. He didn't get here by accident. You know what I mean? I think sometimes people underthink things. I think that's an issue as well, but I digress. Go ahead. Sorry, Tim. Go ahead.
No, I completely understand that.
Yeah.
I was throwing stones.
Really?
Okay, so let's do the numbers here because we heard a lot about what was going on. I wrote some of the numbers down. For those who don't know, Matt Shoemaker against the Rays lifetime, 4-0 with a 2.56 ERA. Much was talked about Hyunjin Ryu on 4 versus 5 days rest. This year, he has a slightly lower ERA on 5 days rest than he does on 4 days rest. Since 2018, his ERA on 4 days rest is 1.27. On 5 days rest, his ERA is 3.32. So it goes the other way since 2018. This year, he's been better on 5 days rest. And let's be honest, this year is an outlier for many reasons. So your natural reaction, what do you like about this? What do you not like about this? Because it seems like online, there are a lot of people expressing what they don't like about it.
All right, here's what I don't like about it. I don't like that Matt Shoemaker hasn't pitched much here. Now, no one expects him to go six. No Jay fan who's watched this team or watched Matt, considering how much time he's missed due to injury, expects him to go deep tomorrow. And there's a Robbie Ray sitting there. Like, maybe you pair him up. Definitely with a healthy bullpen and healthy arms, Charlie Montoyo can basically do whatever he wants tomorrow within reason. So I don't like that. Here's what I love. And I haven't seen what all the teams around baseball are doing, Tim, in terms of like what Cleveland's doing and what the Dodgers look like in terms of their rotation. Mm-hmm. This is in a best of three. This is the rare opportunity where you can line up your ace ahead of time for a clinching game. Doesn't happen in a best of five, and it doesn't happen in a best of seven. This is a very rare occasion. And obviously, like the one-off wild card game, you want your ace going, obviously. But in a series like this, if they win that game tomorrow, and Jay fans in the ninth inning and eighth inning are thinking to themselves, we got Hyunjin Ryu going tomorrow. We got our $80 million arm. Who's rested? Who this year on 5 days rest has been, how do you say, good? That's an advantage I'll take any day of the week. Any day of the week. Because you can't do it in any other series. And you can do it against a team that has blown your doors in for the last several years. Why not do it this way? I agree with this move 1,000%. I think psychologically this could really help you if the Jays get that one tomorrow. And guess what? If they don't, you still got your ace going.
Right.
In the biggest game of your season. I don't understand. I understand Steve Simmons' question. I understand a lot of what's happening on social media in terms of panic. But this is not a normal situation. And I implore Jays fans who always ignore the request to calm down. Because I think this is the smart play. Charlie Montoyo just got you to a postseason without a home and a whack of injuries. Can you not give him a little trust? Like a morsel? Just a crumb, McAuliffe? Because I'm not seeing any of that reaction anywhere. It's insulting.
But this is a curveball for most fans because they don't understand it. And what we're here to do is help you understand it. First off, some of them don't even know that all three games will be played in Tampa. And they'll be played back to back to back, right? Like, that's part of this equation.
No, honestly, Tim, take a second and explain how this is going to work. Because I know people who also, like, work in my business who didn't know exactly how this was going to work. I'm not going to mention names, but I love them. But go ahead. I think it's worth mentioning. Please.
So they're going back to back to back. Three straight games if you need the third game to play. And the most that I've heard in protest of this move is that Taiwan Walker ends up perhaps not even pitching in this series if it doesn't go three. The reason for that is that Taiwan Walker struggled against lefties this season. And the Rays, if they want to, can stack lefties up against... Listen, this is a bold move, a very bold move, because if it backfires... The Jays won't hear the end of this for a while, and they know it. But I've heard this phrase, fortune favors the bold. And what the Jays are doing here is what they have done all season long, and that is try-ish. And they're not alone. There are a lot of people. Sid Sixero brought it up to me. I've already brought it up that thought, do you put your ace in the two-hole? Knowing full well that if you do and it backfires, you are going to hear it. And the Jays, in my very humble opinion, looked at this as gravy, as the icing on the cake to make it to this spot and thought, why not be bold in this spot? And I'm okay with it. And I know that it could backfire. And I know what we'll hear after it does backfire. But let's be honest here. This isn't the little shop of horrors that most Jays fans are anticipating at Tropicana Field. And I understand why. The history there says you're in deep caca. But this year, Tampa won the series 6-4. It was just 4-3 in Tampa. They played 7 in Tampa, 3 in Buffalo. Almost every game was close. In fact, 8 of the 10 games were decided by 2 runs or less. 5 of them were 1-run contests. So, I don't know, man. I don't think the Jays are intimidated. In fact, I have proof that the Jays are acting like they're not intimidated. Here's Bo Bichette on whether or not the Jays going in to face the one seed in the American League, the Tampa Bay Rays, in a place that they have not fared well in the past, are intimidated. Run that, Bo Bichette.
I would say it's 0% intimidating. We understand that they're a good team. I mean, top to bottom, everything they do is really well. They do it really well. So, but not at all intimidated. We're going to go out there and, like I said, play as hard as we can. We believe in ourselves. We've played them tight in the past, you know, but not at all intimidated. They're definitely really good, no doubt about it. But if we go up there and we trust ourselves and I guess you say just let our talent go, man. Let it believe in ourselves. Let our talent go, man. I think we got a really good shot.
Let our talent go.
0% intimidating. Zero.
This ain't the same old Jays versus Rays. If the boys are loose, you never know what in the good name of BJ Ryan can happen here.
Bo Bichette is like the guy who the big dude looks at the bar and mouths off to, but like is a black belt in jiu-jitsu. And then a video starts going viral of Bo kicking that guy's ass in the street because he wasn't as nice as he should have been to somebody. Bo, I get that vibe. Bo has that silent but deadly sound to him. Mm-hmm. And he plays that way. Tim, what you said earlier, my career is a testament to the phrase, fortune favors the brave. I am not here without that. And there are elements to what the Jays do that are very much along those lines. You are bang on in saying that. I got chills listening to Bo Bichette say that. And if that is the legit, they don't know about us yet, like that feeling in that clubhouse, and we've heard a lot about it. Tim Cavendish gives the same vibe. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., my Spanish isn't as good as it used to be, but through the interpreter, I get the same vibe. If they're carrying that into Tropicana Field, this is going to be a hell of a week. Tim, we got some breaking news from the NBA. Forgive me.
No problem.
Doc Rivers has been fired as head coach of the LA Clippers. Let me make that correct. Doc Rivers is out, is what we're just reporting. Out as head coach of the LA Clippers.
That wasn't the greatest way to go down if you're the LA Clippers. I understand that. One more thing that I would like to get to about the Jays. And listen, it's gonna be a mountain. It's Blake Snell, Tyler Glasnow, Charlie Morton. Like, it's a mountain. And they're the number one seed for a reason. But forget Canada's team. Did the Jays get a send-off from Buffalo? Like, I know the history of Toronto and Buffalo includes, and you know this as well as I know this, Sid, because we both grew up in Toronto, that the city of Toronto likes to make fun of the city of Buffalo for their hokey newscasts, for their fires, for their Gallerias, for their Tonawandas, for their Bill's Boner. But the 6-0s, I don't know, B-Lo, is that what you call it? Is that the nickname for Buffalo, the B-Lo? The 6-0s, the B-Lo. No?
I've never heard the B-Lo.
A solid debt of gratitude for the way they treated the Jays. It does. For the way they treated the Jays, for sure. And I mean, that's prime Yankee country, right? Was it just the Jays staff that sent them off? Was there a dent that the Jays made?
I'd like to think it was a mix of locals and Jays staff, and it's just beautiful what you saw. And I'd like to leave it at that because it was just nice. It was because I don't know, right? You don't know, I don't know. But in my mind's eye, I'd like to think it's a mix of both. And it was good to see. The send-off was good to see.
And congrats to Major League Baseball for finding the first finish line. Like for a while, it seemed like they might not get there, but they did. And as I said earlier, it is jammed. It's going to be tough to keep track of. I mean, look at tomorrow's schedule. If you love baseball, my God, are you set? At first, I was pissed that we had the day off because I wanted to come on and talk about the Jays. And then I looked at the schedule, clear the track, get me some Muskoka Tread Lightly and some sour cream and onion chips like Sid Sixero tweeted out over the weekend. I mean, this is whole grain goodness. 2 p.m. Eastern, Astros at Twins, Sportsnet 1, 3 p.m. Eastern, White Sox at A's, Sportsnet 360, 4 p.m. Eastern, Blue Jays Central on Sportsnet, 5 p.m. Eastern, Blue Jays at Rays, Sportsnet, 7 p.m. Eastern, Yankees at Indians, and that's on Sportsnet 1, and my God, is that a tasty matchup as well. I've said my God a lot. We'll have 8 games on Wednesday. If you could only watch one other game, what should the average fan be on the lookout for? Which series? It's so much.
I would call me crazy, and the National League doesn't get going until Wednesday. The Dodgers are no lock in a best of three. The Dodgers could go down here very easily, the same as any other team. If it was best of five, best of seven, I might be singing a different tune. But I would really keep it, because if that Dodgers team doesn't win, Tim, playing Kershaw's postseason splits are what they are. They're horrendous. Not to say he can't pitch well this week. I'm not saying that.
I love
that
we're playing that game again.
Horrendous.
No, I know. They're
bad.
This is baseball.
They're bad. Listen, the Dodgers have one goal, first World Series since 88. They're taking on a Brewers team that's banged up and below 500. And they can lose. What theater that would be. I'd keep an eye on that.
Gerrit Cole versus Shane Bieber, New York, Cleveland. Like, this is ALCS. Like, if you had at the start of the year, if you had to say Cleveland, New York, a lot of people might have gone, oh, yeah, it's a good ALCS. I'm looking forward to seeing that one. So if you're looking for other things to watch, Sixero and I will have you covered. Listen, we are just scratching the surface today.
So many things to talk about.
We have a matchup of the two youngest. I think this is two MVPs under 25 facing each other in a Monday night football game. That's never happened. Never mind on Monday night, any night. That has never happened. We'll break down all of week three, set you up for a great Monday nighter. And oh yeah, the Stanley Cup is not only in the building. In fact, it's been in the building for a while. It could be handed out tonight. Can Dallas do it again? We'll examine next right here on Tim and Sid, Sportsnet Radio and TV. This is Tim and Sid across the Sportsnet Radio and Television Networks. Shane wrote in to follow your analogy in block one about Bo Bichette. Said he's like Patrick Swayze in Roadhouse.
Exactly like that.
He doesn't look like the tough guy, but you test him, you get your ass handed to you.
Go through a wooden table.
Boom. It's like the old guy with the ponytail and the gray hair kicks the other guy in the knee.
The guy who talks like this.
Yeah.
From Roadhouse. The guy who talks like. I've never seen Roadhouse front to back. I've seen pieces, but it looks pretty average. Really average movie.
There are some movies that just scream love with their averageness. Like, the mediocrity makes the movie. Roadhouse is one of those movies.
But I'm assuming that was post Dirty Dancing, where people just wanted so much more of Patrick Swayze. I'm guessing is the timeline of how that played out. Assuming.
But it's also like every Jean-Claude Van Damme movie. Like, they suck, but they're amazing.
I've never seen one Jean-Claude Van Damme movie. I'm not even messing with you. Hey, look, he's doing the splits. Let's watch 2 hours of it. Come on. Get out of here.
Jean-Claude Van Damme dancing in an Asian bar.
That's different.
The price of admission. But that's what I'm talking about.
If we're picking scenes, then I'm there. I'm with her. That's one of the great.
It's just how they're all ridiculous, and that's what makes them great.
I'm never watching one.
Hold on. Oh, yeah, you did say that. We had Ryan Dempster on, and we were talking about a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie, and you admitted that you'd never seen it before.
There's roundhouse kicks and stuff, right? Like, I'm not missing much.
Move on. NHL, let's go.
Let's go. We've got game 6. Tampa will attempt a roundhouse kick to the head of their opponents, Dallas, this evening and finish the job. Coverage starts Game 6 of the Cup Final on CBC and Sportsnet, 7:30 Eastern. Stars stayed alive with a double OT win on Saturday. Second of back-to-back games led by the vets. Corey Perry, that's why the Stars brought him in. Joe Pavelski, that's why the Stars brought him in. Lightning have never lost a series after being up 3-1 and
Phone's
never
ringing.
Required a Game 7. Well, that's opportunity. You know what that is? That's opportunity. And it's calling for Tampa. We'll see if they can get the job done tonight. They're a perfect 6-0 this postseason, Tim, as I ignore the phone call to my right that you can clearly hear for some reason. Tampa have not lost back-to-back games in the restart here. Can the Stars defy the odds and force a Game 7, which could set up like the greatest sports night ever on Wednesday with baseball, Game 7 of a Cup Final, Game 1 of the NBA Finals?
Who has a home phone anymore? Listen, I have no idea what the Dallas Stars are going to do because I have no idea in the good name of Darian Hatcher's mullet how the bleep they're actually here. I mean, I have no shame or no qualms about saying Tampa Bay is the better hockey team. Tampa is the better hockey team, and yet here we are. Like, add in the NHL decides we're going to play back-to-back games for just the second time in a Stanley Cup final since 1967, and this should be over. Add in the fact that who leads them in the second half of those back-to-back overtime games for the first time since 1967. 34-year-old Anton Khudobin, 35-year-old Corey Perry, and 36-year-old Joel Pavelski. Like, I have no idea how they are here, and yet they're here. Like, I know they've got some great young kids, and they also have some graying gentlemen who are doing what they're... The last six goals have been scored by Joe Pavelski or Corey Perry. Like, it's... I don't know how to explain it. I have no idea. Like, aren't those the guys that are supposed to be hurt by the back-to-backs at this tender age? Again, I'm not afraid to say it. The Lightning are the better team, and they're doing this without their captain. Tampa would just be the first team since 1937 to win the Stanley Cup without their captain in the lineup. But this is one of the reasons we love sports. Like, how much did that missed opportunity hurt Tampa? The one-goal lead late, they absolutely dominate in the first overtime period. And again, no doubt who the better team is, yet you and I are going to ask each other, did that missed opportunity by Tampa cost them the series? And I don't have a definitive answer for that. I love sports because belief can make Dallas feel like they belong in this. And I wonder if that belief hasn't rattled a Tampa squad that, I don't know if you remember this, has been rattled a couple times before.
Tim, you mentioned age, and I think age did catch up with them the other night. They got outshot 7-2 in that first overtime. Yeah. I think Tampa Bay knew exactly what they were doing. Or they just play that way. But it's like playing pickup hockey or basketball, Tim, with the old guy who has a lot of adrenaline that night, but don't talk to him the next day. It'll be tough. And I feel like, now, I don't want to disrespect any of the elders on this team because they're still younger than I am, but I think at some point the age factor does end this series for me tonight. That series should have ended Saturday, and the Stars, they dug in, they did their best, and they got a good bounce at the end, and that's all that matters. That's all the history books will show. Mm-hmm. Tampa are not going, they haven't done it the entire postseason in terms of letting a loss linger, which is the ultimate in sports, Tim. You can really tell the difference mentally between a squad like that. Do they let a loss just hang in the air? Do they nip it in the bud? And Tampa has nipped it in the bud every single time. I think age does finally come up or speed up with them this evening, the Stars. I think this is done. My only question is, does the Cup get carried out wearing a mask this evening? Do they do that? Probably not. That's just my weird brain
on the Cup.
Put the mask physically on the Cup and bring it out. Either way, I'm really looking forward to this hockey game. Listen, I'm rooting for a Game 7. I'm a neutral here. I'm good. Either way, everyone's flying home on Thursday. And this ends for all of them, thank God, including Jim Houston, who's going to join us next hour. I think Tampa continues that week. We're not going to lose two in a row thing tonight.
And there was a celebration, a responsible celebration, but a celebration in Edmonton. And I think them and the whole league should take a bow after this because this has been nuts. 9 straight weeks, Tim, of no positives in those bubbles the league announced today. Crazy. Absolutely crazy how they pulled this off.
I love the Brett Musburger, "You're looking live at Rogers Place in Edmonton," as they get set. That is coming your way a little later on tonight right here on Sportsnet. Don't you dare miss it. Sid mentioned breaking news in the last block from the National Basketball Association. Doc Rivers is out with the Clippers. This tweeted 18 minutes ago from Adrian Wojnarowski. Just 3 minutes ago, Doc Rivers tweeted out a thank you to Clippers Nation for allowing me to be your coach, for all your support. When he took this job, his goals were making this a winning basketball program, a free agent destination, and bringing a championship to the organization. While I was able to accomplish most of my goals, I think he added in the free agent destination for a specific reason, and Kawhi enjoyed it. What do you make of Doc Rivers being out in L.A.?
This is he doesn't mention Steve Ballmer in this. This is a firing. He's not going to be out of work long. Sixers need a person. Houston Rockets need a person. They have championship aspirations. He's been there. It's been a while, but he's been there. Listen, Tim, the only thing I'm wondering, which we're all wondering, and good luck getting an answer to this, is was this Kawhi's idea? If it was Kawhi's idea, makes complete sense. If Kawhi didn't have much to do with it, and with any team lately with Kawhi, I find that hard to believe, then I don't know what this says. I think he's going to be fine. It reeks of panic. Yeah, this guy went through the Donald Sterling thing with that franchise.
Listen,
he's been through a lot with this team. To fire him after that, wow.
He was badly outcoached in Game 7 of the second round series that they were supposed to get through. And what this screams to me is you got PG, you got Kawhi Leonard, and you have everyone saying there's a chemistry issue on this team, and you've only got them for one more year. This, to me, is sheer and utter panic that both of those guys could bounce after next year, and you've got to make the move now. Now, there are a lot of teams looking for a coach, Doc Rivers. If he wants to coach, we'll find another job like that.
He will. In a second.
He was badly outcoached. A lot of people inside basketball saw that he was badly outcoached, and this team reacted like they have to react because there might not be a year after next. And if you're the Clippers and you just gave up 5 first-round picks, Gilgeous Alexander and Gallinari for PG, this better bleeping work. And that's what this screams to me.
It wasn't Doc that traded the picks, let's be fair about it. You're not suggesting otherwise, but he's given the players to coach. He's given the roster to coach. And you're right, it didn't look good at the end, but Paul George does go 4-for-16. How much of that is on Doc Rivers? I'm not sure. But
I don't see
the guy out there, Timmy. I just don't see the guy out there, unless Coach K is taking a 1-year NBA contract. Who's the guy who's going to go into that organization with Kawhi, as mercurial as he is, and Paul George, as mercurial as he is, and a team that, quite frankly, depth-wise, doesn't look great? Who's going to turn that around in a year? You're right. The clock is ticking. They got a year. That's it. Who's going to turn that around? I can't wait for this answer. I can't wait to see who this person is.
Someone who's going to get a boatload of money and have the ridiculous expectations that will be placed on them in a year. Because that's the only spot that you're in right now. And let me be clear about the way Doc Rivers got out-coached. And I know you mentioned Paul George's offensive numbers, but for me, it was what they were doing defensively. They looked like they had no clue what they were doing defensively. And at this point of the year, there's no excuse for that. Like, at one point, and I talked to a coach about this, I thought I saw Doc Rivers ask if they were switching.
Yeah.
What are you talking about here?
Not at this stage. That's a preseason question day 4.
Right. So the NBA finals So the NBA finals are set. The Heat beat the Celtics in game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals after the Lakers eliminated Jamal Murray and the Nuggets on Saturday night. Game 1 of the finals goes Wednesday night. Everyone expected either the Lakers or the Clippers to make it out of the West. and the Heat are the first team seeded fifth or lower to reach the finals since the Knicks in 1999. How surprising is this run to you?
Watching them play, Tim, throughout the year, whether it was bubble or in the other world we used to live in, and yeah. I'm going to assume you agree with me on this, I'm not surprised at all. Because that team looked like a complete unit the entire season. Prior to the trade deadline, that's a team that could play defense, they could shoot the three. Jimmy Butler looked fantastic. What surprised me, though, Tim, to answer your question is, how on earth at the trade deadline, while you're dumping salary, you also bring in Andre Iguodala, who has now gone to six straight finals. How at the trade deadline, while you're dumping salary, do you pick up Jay Crowder, who can defend like that on the perimeter and now is shooting threes like that? Yeah. To me, those are the moves, Tim, I look at and say, the rest. There are trade deadlines where the rest of the league is asleep at the switch. And for those guys to be lingering and sitting there, and you pick them up for nothing, that's why they're in the final. Tyler Hero has been a hero. You know, Jimmy Butler has been phenomenal. Jimmy Butler, by the way, did he not lead them once in scoring in any of those games in that Eastern Conference final?
I can
forgive
check.
Me. I thought that was the stat, which is insane when you think about it. That is the ultimate team you're looking at in Miami, and they got better at that deadline. And that's what surprises me the most, how pieces like that, specifically Iguodala, you can get for a song. And now look at him. Just crazy. Congratulations.
You are correct. You are correct. Dragic, Adebayo, Hero, Dragic, Adebayo. Those are your leading scorers in the six games against Boston. Listen, surprising, yes, not shocking. This is a great all-around team. In fact, I've already taken the Heat in Vegas at +330, and that number has gone down drastically because I believe this is a classic play because a bunch of people will bet on LeBron James and the Lakers, and Las Vegas is an L.A. town, and we all know that. The Lakers have two players that can beat you. You mentioned Andre Iguodala. He's what, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth guy that can beat you on Miami's team? I just mentioned who were the leading scorers against Boston. Their depth beat Boston. You match up 5 for 5. I don't know if they win. Once you got deeper than that, they were better. And let me just ask this, because I think we got to move on quickly because we got to get to the NFL. Like, what is going through the minds of the brass in Chicago, Minnie, and Philly as Jimmy Butler takes the Heat to the finals? Like, I don't know what you think of this, but this is like a master class in leadership from the I'm not for everyone. Yeah. Those loser franchises that I just named who can't muster up enough guts to tell their stars that hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. Seriously, look at the franchises he left. Bulls, nothing since Mike left. Mini, best player in franchise history, had to leave to win. And don't at me if you think that's Andrew Wiggins. And Philly, where the owner is trying so hard to be cool and chill with Meek Mill that he can't tell his two superstars to work hard. Here's Jimmy Butler, too difficult, rubs people the wrong way. He wants me to work hard. And then my guy shows up with the Tyler Hero high school jersey. He shows up with the Eric Spoelstra Portland University jersey. He's a guy who wants to win. This is how you lead dudes who want to win. LeBron James spends $1 million a year on health and nutrition because he knows he has to work really hard to win, and he's been to 10 straight finals. The Toronto Raptors won the championship on hard-ass work, and that's the analogy for me. Jimmy Butler is this year's Kawhi Leonard, where he shows people this is what it takes to win. And those people are following, finally.
It also helps when your franchise is being run by a dude who sits at a table with LeBron, Bosch, and Wade and drops a bunch of rings and says, we can do that. If that's your leadership, not surprising.
And one of the best coaches in the NBA who doesn't get the credit for it.
Eric, shout out Eric Spoelstra. Hells yeah. Hells yeah.
By the way, I'll pour some out for Jamal Murray's run.
Way to go, Jamal. He'll be back. Better believe that. He'll be back.
Still a Canadian, though. Shout out Kamloops, by the way.
Yep. Kelly, go get him. Go get that ring. And then a gold medal next summer.
Health pending.
Yeah, shout out a guy who shows up for Canada year after year after year.
Damn right.
Shout out South Kamloops Titans, Doug Lister and Kelly Olynyk. Shout out his dad, Ken. By the way, NBA Finals, Canadian in it, each of the last 10 years. Did you know that?
I didn't know that. Good stat.
Time for a break. Week three in the National Football League. Two MVPs go at it tonight. Who was the most embarrassing result, team, dude of the weekend? And is there an MVP candidate in Buffalo? We'll discuss next right here on Tim and Sid, Sportsnet Radio and TV. This is Tim and Sid, Dan Shulman and Jim Houston, two of the best in the business at calling games play-by-play, will join us in our final hour. We have yet to hit on what was another pretty damn good weekend in the National Football League. Is there an MVP candidate in Buffalo? And as we go into the MVP candidate matchup on Monday night, who is your favorite to win it right now?
There is an MVP candidate in Buffalo. It's obviously Josh Allen. Now, I know I immediately people are going to be like, well, they also gave up a 20. Well, they did give up a 28-3 lead. What are they doing? What are you talking about? Listen. He's scoring five touchdowns, four touchdowns week to week. The only guy is Russell Wilson doing that. He looks the part. He still can get better. From an MVP standpoint, undeniably, and by the way, this is the earliest MVP conversation I ever remember having with you or anyone else about the National Football League. I don't know what it is about what we're seeing that is triggering the MVP gene in all of our brains, but I'm there with a few guys, and Josh Allen's definitely one of them.
What we're seeing is incredibly creative play at the quarterback spot, led by the way Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson have revolutionized the position over the last few years, and OCs willing to admit that there's more ways to win NFL football games than dropping back in the pocket and throwing bombs, right? Like, you saw it on like last night, Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers. Like, the creativity on display was amazing. And right now, it has to – listen, it's way too early to be having the MVP conversation, but jaw drops when you see what Josh Allen is doing. And jaw drops Russell Wilson. Here's the complete list of NFL players to throw for at least four or more touchdowns in each of their first three games of the season. Russell Wilson. That's it. My guy's got 14 touchdowns, one interception, and he's completing 76.7% of his passes. He's been unbelievable. And I'll shout out Dak, who was almost as impressive in that game. So let me ask you this then. If that's the good, there was a lot of embarrassing yesterday in the National Football League. Who had the most embarrassing weekend?
Tim, from what I've been told, working out is difficult. Like, taking care of yourself physically, I don't know this for a fact.
Oh,
but from people who are in shape have told me working out is a very difficult thing. And when you're in real good shape, that is dedication, and that's a no-quit attitude. Would you agree with me that DK Metcalf of the Seattle Seahawks probably has a no-quit attitude when it comes to working out and taking care of himself physically? Would you agree with that?
Yeah, he's 6'3", like 235. And
he's built like an Adonis, okay? I've seen professional wrestlers on roids look worse than this. The guy is in complete shape. What he did yesterday after catching a touchdown pass, completely letting up and having Trevon Diggs of the Cowboys just chase him and strip the ball, was one of the most embarrassing things and shocking things I've ever seen in football for a guy who you know is dedicated, for a guy who you know does not quit on anything. 5 a.m., got a jog? Don't feel like it, but I'm probably going to do it. Why? Because you can look at me, and I obviously do it. For him to slow down there, Tim, he's very lucky he caught a game-winning touchdown before the final whistle blew. He's very lucky. That I have no time for in football. And I can't believe how many times I've seen that. It's one of those ridiculous things I've ever seen in the game of football. Unbelievable. He's lucky he caught a winning touchdown. He is.
Did you say letting up?
Letting up.
Letting
up.
Like, yeah. Leon letting up?
Well done.
I thought you did it on purpose.
No. I'll take the credit, though.
The Falcons, you leave out of it, And is there anything worse than New York football right now?
I'd rather talk about actual football than the Falcons. That's why I let the Falcons out of that conversation.
We'll have the rest of the conversation next, along with ones with Shulman in Houston on Tim and Sid.
Time for Tim and Sid. Time for Tim and Sid. Time for Tim and Sid. Time for Tim and Sid.
Oh, yeah. It's time for real sports talk with Tim McAuliffe and Sid Sexero.
All right, we're pulling back the curtain on Tim and Sid. Sometimes we just don't have enough time. You go DK Metcalf on the most embarrassing thing of the weekend, and the guy caught the game-winning touchdown to make up for the error that he made. There is no coming back for the Atlanta Falcons from two blown leads like they've had in each of the last 2 weeks. In fact, teams don't do that in a season. They've done that in back-to-back weeks. And the New York football Giants, my God, Sid, do you see who wasn't playing for San Francisco on the road?
That's the highest octave I've ever heard your voice, by the way.
Here's who didn't play for San Francisco. Jimmy Garoppolo, George Kittle, Raheem Mostert, D. Ford, Nick Bosa, Richard Sherman, Tevin Campbell, Deebo Samuel, Solomon. They smashed the living pieces out of the New York Giants. The Giants suck terribly. And by the way, the Niners stayed on the road. They didn't even go home after beating the other team that almost sucks as much as the New York football Giants, and that's the New York football Jets. I didn't have enough time to go back to the DK Metcalf who caught the game-winning touchdown. But there's people that were much more embarrassed than him.
Two things. One, to rip on the Giants suck and are coached by a special teams coach who was good in an interview room. So they're irrelevant to me. Completely irrelevant. Second, you're asking me to be as surprised now of the Falcons blowing a lead as I used to be? That's the equivalent of saying when the sun rises in the morning, are you surprised? Although there are days this year, Tim, yes, I've been surprised. But I am not surprised at the Atlanta Falcons blowing a lead. I'm now expecting it. So that doesn't have me shook like other people. I'm going outside the box. Yes, hold I know on. DK Metcalf hold won the game, but that's on. Embarrassing. The question was hold embarrassing.
On. Hold on.
The Falcons is embarrassing. Trubisky. It's expected.
Sid Trubisky. Here comes Nick Foles, who's going to do this big Nick energy again. And he comes back and does, like, come on, man.
This Chicago is that's special. Just more,
that's,
Chicago special.
The Falcons are the first team in NFL history to lose twice in one season while holding a 15-plus point lead in the fourth quarter. They did it in back-to-back weeks.
And yet today we sit here, Tim, Dan Quinn wasn't fired and Doc Rivers was. What a world we live in.
Yeah, I feel bad honestly. For Thomas Dimitroff. Dimitroff, like,
I'm afraid for the whole front office and coaching staff after stuff like that. Very afraid.
Yeah, yeah.
Very afraid.
Me too.
What I'm not afraid about is how much I'm going to enjoy baseball over the next, not just couple days, but several weeks. The postseason kids begin tomorrow. As we know, the Toronto Blue Jays, for the first time since 2016, are in the postseason dance. They got a best-of-three series against Tampa, the evil nemesis from the South, beginning tomorrow on Sportsnet and right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Dan Shulman, who will call the game, but not from Canada. We'll get into those details in a second. Dan's got an interesting situation. We'll talk to Dan in just a bit. But, Tim, before we get to Dan, I thought it was a good time to go over how strange these last 2 months have been for the Blue Jays, both on the field and off it. Roll it. To say it's been a weird year would be an understatement. The baseball season was a roller coaster, even getting on the field, with labor unrest threatening to hijack the entire thing before it got started. But once it did, COVID outbreaks among the Marlins and Cardinals had most people thinking, yeah, they're not going to finish the season. But here we are. The playoffs start tomorrow, and against all odds, the Jays are a part of the dance. Yes, it was a short 60-game season. Yes,
The playoff field expanded to 16 teams, but that doesn't take away from the accomplishment and the resiliency of this group. Remember July? The Jays didn't have a home. First, Canada said, yeah, we can't have teams crossing the border, and rightfully so. Then there was a mad scramble for a secondary home. Pittsburgh? Nope. Baltimore? Yeah, how about Baltimore? Nope. So ultimately, it was Buffalo, home of the Jays' AAA affiliate that would house the Jays in what was basically an extended 60-game road trip. Some players, understandably, weren't happy. But the team and staff did an incredible job getting Salen Field as major league ready as humanly possible. Still, most thought this young team would struggle with everything thrown at them. And they did out the gate, to be fair. They were 7-11. Bo Bichette went down with the injury. And it seemed like a lost, albeit weird, season was happening before our eyes. But then something else happened. The Jays started to click. They rallied around the injuries and the adversity and started winning. And Salen Field, incredibly, kind of felt like home.
And he sends a fly ball to center. It is deep. It's gone! Randall Grichuk walks it off.
The bullpen, despite losing Ken Giles the first weekend of the season, became the team's backbone, making up for starters often going five innings or less and carrying the team basically into contention. And then the bats woke up.
First pitch fastball, and a bouncer gets by Voit into right field. And he lines the ball to left field for a base hit. And Shaw rips one into center field. And a drive. Gone! Danny Jensen clears the bases, and it's a 10-run inning for the Blue Jays.
Hyunjin Ryu was the ace they paid for, and then some. The bright spot in a rotation that had some ups and downs. And there have been plenty of injuries along the way, as with most teams this season, but the Jays weathered the losses of Bichette, Hernandez, Giles, Romano, Pearson, Shoemaker, Tellez, on and on the list goes. They also made some additions at the trade deadline, which, quite frankly, not everyone in the fan base was expecting. And despite a six-game losing streak late in the year, the attitude, incredibly, within the group seemed pretty good. They were getting healthy, and they had this why-not-us attitude. Now, if the Jays go out in two straight games to Tampa, it can still be chalked up as a great experience for this young core to taste the postseason without a doubt. But this group believes they can do way more than that. And internal belief seems strong. The Jays are big underdogs against Tampa this week. Of course they are. But if we've learned anything about this team, is that they can beat the odds once in a while. They did it in the regular season. Why not again?
Will there be, Timmy, way more two claps and a Ric Flair in the Jays' future starting tomorrow? We'll find out live on Sportsnet right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Dan Shulman, thankfully, will be on the mic for this brief three-game series, but not in Canada. It's an interesting tale. I'll let him tell it. Mr. Shulman, how you doing? Did you get to your destination safely?
I did. I missed an exit on I-90 and cost myself an extra half an hour, but I am safe and sound in beautiful Connecticut.
Nice. So tell
all
us.
Right. So forgive me, Timmy. Go ahead.
I was just going to tell us the situation in which you find yourself calling this series, but not for who you were calling for it for the 60 game season.
Right. So I know you guys know, and some people know, but obviously a lot of people don't. I've called the playoffs for ESPN Radio. Since you guys were just little tykes, and that's kind of a regular October thing for me, and so I am looking forward to doing that again. And, you know, much as a big part of my heart, obviously, would love to be sitting in the Tim and Sid studio calling the games on Sportsnet, that just wasn't possible this year. So I'm in Connecticut, and the funny thing is, because there are so many games going on, they asked me if I would double up and do two series in the first round. So I said, sure, because, you know, I haven't worked for them all summer and I'm smart that way. So I say yes when they ask me to do something. So I said, sure. So, like, originally I was going to be on the Yankee series. And then when the Times came out, there was no opportunity to double up with the Yankees and somebody else. So they said, how would you like to do the Blue Jay series and the Dodgers series? And I said, great. So I'm doing the Blue Jay game tomorrow, and then Wednesday I'm doing the Blue Jay game at 4 and the Dodger game at 10, and then we'll see what the world looks like on Thursday.
Obviously, we know who the underdogs are in both series that you're calling, Brewers v. Dodgers. It's the Brewers, obviously, and the Jays. I'm not saying I totally agree with that, but that's what the bookies are saying. Without giving me a team name, Mr. Shulman, how many upsets, plural, or upset do you think you're going to call this week from those Bristol, Connecticut studios? How interesting is this going to get?
Boy, is that a loaded question, man. One. And it's the one you want to hear. I mean, I can't say zero. I mean, you've backed me into a corner here. You've totally backed
Forgive me. You've had a long day. You've been on the road.
Scold him, Danny.
I'm sorry.
I mention I missed an exit on the turnpike? Did I talk about that?
Yes, I-90. You did. Yes.
I-90.
Yeah. I think the Jays have an excellent chance, to be honest with you. Like, they should be the underdog. You know, let's be honest. The Rays won 40 games, and the Rays are I think a more complete team. I think the Rays have fewer flaws. But, yeah, listen, we all know how tough the Blue Jays played the Rays. We all know they've made additions since they played the Rays. And they've got a fighting chance in this series. There's absolutely no doubt about it. So I don't know if it's 50-50, but, like, if the Blue Jays win the series, I don't think it's a stunning upset. It's an upset, but it's certainly possible.
You've seen enough playoff baseball, and I respect Keith Law, but I do believe there is such thing as clutch. Do you believe this team has the makeup to handle the heat as it gets turned up in the postseason, if you believe the heat does get turned up in the postseason?
Yes, for two reasons. So back in 2002, the year the Angels won the World Series, they went into that play, I don't know how I remember this, but they went into a playoff series with the Yankees in the first round. And I remember saying, there's only one guy on the whole Angels roster that's ever been in the playoffs before, Kevin Apier. They have no chance against the Yankees, because this was 2002. Like, this was still, you know, on the tail end of the dynasty kind of thing. And, of course, the Angels beat the Yankees and they won the World Series. Rowley Monkey, Garrett Anderson, and the whole thing. So that kind of, from then on, I said, you know what, maybe experience is a little overrated in the playoffs. And I don't know, I look at Bo Bichette, I look at Kevin Biggio, I look at Vladimir Guerrero. I don't see guys who look to me like they're going to be afraid. I just don't. I think they're going to be fine. I think it's much more about the Blue Jays pitching, to be honest with you. And the pitchers aren't the kids. The pitchers are the veterans on the team. But I think, you know, Gurriel's going to be fine. Teoscar is going to be fine. God bless him. Alejandro Kirk's going to be fine. I don't think these guys are going to get nervous. You know, you guys have watched a lot of games. You see how loose and fun they are, and they're confident. I think they're going to be okay.
I guarantee you Kirk is not going to be nervous, because if we were to open that young man up, we'd find nothing but circuitry. He is a robot. I cannot. That's the only way I can explain this rise that he's had.
Maybe some chocolate, too.
Maybe. Well, if you opened me up right now, you'd find some chocolate as well. Dan Shulman joining us from Bristol, Connecticut. Dan, let's get to that pitching here. The Jays paid $80 million for a guy that they're going to start in game two. This has some people rattled. I love it. Where do you stand on it?
So let me say, I didn't get here in time to watch Charlie's Zoom. So I did a little quick bit of reading before we came on, but I haven't heard the words from Charlie's mouth. So I know they said Ryu didn't ask for an extra day. Maybe he asked for an extra day. I don't know. Maybe they think he's better on an extra day. Maybe they think if they lose game one, they want their ace in game two to help get them to game three. I don't know. I'm going to keep saying I don't know, because I don't know what it is. Maybe they say, we think Ryu can get deep into the game, but we're going to need Baruchy as much as we can because of all the lefties. We're going to need whoever, all the short inning relievers. So if we have Ryu in game two, we can get more use out of the bullpen in one and three. Like, if Baruchy doesn't pitch in game one, does pitch in game two, can he pitch in game three? I don't know. He hasn't pitched back-to-back all that much. And I'm not saying they should base their rotation around, you know, Baruchy or Hatch or Cole or anything like that. But I think, my guess is somebody, whether it's Ryu or the organization, feels he'd be better with an extra day's rest. And I think they're just getting a little creative here that, you know, maybe it allows them a little more bullpen use. And maybe if they lose game one, he's the guy to help get it to game three. And it's a bunch of different little factors. At the end of the day, as long as he pitches in one or two and he's okay, like he's physically okay, then I don't know if it matters all that much. I kind of like the Shoemaker-Ray combo, wherever it is. And I'm a big Taiwan Walker fan, but his splits are huge, and Tampa's got a ton of left-handed batters. And I promise you this, if they were playing the White Sox today, Taiwan Walker would be starting game one, and Ryu would be starting game two. Like, for sure. clearly they knew this was a possibility. And as Charlie said, they wanted to keep their options open. And that's why Walker only went three innings, and that's why Shoemaker and Ray pitched on the side instead of making an appearance on the weekend.
Dan Shulman joining us here on Tim and Sid. We mentioned earlier that Charlie Montoyo spent 22 years with the Rays organization. Can institutional knowledge help in a three-game series?
I don't think it can hurt. I mean, he knows Kevin Cash as well as anybody, right? And so if you're thinking about Shoemaker Ray, you're bringing in Ray if they do that. You know, does Cash pull Setsugo? Does Cash pull Wendell? Does Cash pull Nate Lowe? Like, Charlie knows Cash's moves. And then Cash has to decide, if I pull my lefties and bring in my righties now, then my righties are going to see Dolis and Bass and Cole at the end of the game. But even though Charlie knows Cash inside out, in the moment, I don't think he can guarantee Cash will do this, Cash will do that, because there are so many variables that Kevin Cash takes into account. And this is the way Kevin Cash lives every day of his life, right? This is who the Rays are. And I have felt from before opening day, the weirder this season was, the more it favored the Tampa Bay Rays, because they live in the weird. They thrive in the weird. This is who they are. And that's why, one of the reasons why I think it's such a tough matchup for the Blue Jays. So maybe it can help a little bit, Tim, but, you know, the Cash is used to zigging when other teams think he's going to zag, and he'd be a hell of a poker player, I bet you.
Dan Shulman here on Tim and Sid. Jays and Tampa Bay Rays, game one tomorrow. It's going to be something. Look, Dan, in terms of the confidence level inside the team, Charlie Montoyo said after the clincher last week, he was asked what his message was, and he said, pressure's off. You guys go out and you enjoy yourselves. Bo Bichette, in a clip we ran earlier in the show during his Zoom availability, was asked about intimidation from the Tampa Bay Rays, and he said there was 0% intimidation. These are quotes I think Jays fans like to hear. Is it possible to be, how do I phrase this, too not intimidated? Is it possible to, I've always believed butterflies are good. Butterflies mean you care. Not that they don't have butterflies. I'm not suggesting that. But when you hear talk like this from a team that has played all of zero playoff games together as a core, what do you think?
I think it's great. And again, I think that's who they are. The reason I think Bo Bichette is as good a player as he is, I mean, obviously he's got, you know, physical skills, hand-eye coordination and all that. But I think one of the reasons Bo Bichette is as good as he is because Bo will never be intimidated by anybody. I think if Bo strikes out, he walks back to the dugout saying, I'm the best baseball player in the world. I think he says that all, you know, paraphrasing. But I think he always believes he's going to get them next time. I think Biggio believes he's going to get him next time. Uriel, Guerrero, all of them. I really do. And I don't think if overconfident is another way of looking at it, I don't think so. I don't think it's a problem. I agree with Charlie 200% that they're playing with house money right now. It's been a good season. They overcame a lot to get where they are. And even if they lose in two, I still think it's a good season. You'd like to see them not get blown out. You know, you'd like to see them fight to the finish like they have in all the games against the Rays. But I think they believe they have an excellent chance of winning it. And I think they should go in free of mind and confidence. But I don't think there's any danger of them being, well, how did you phrase it? Not intimidated enough or not too unintimidated? I can't remember.
quite frankly, Dan, I forget what I say as well. Whatever. It was ridiculous, but God bless you for trying to remember because I couldn't.
It felt like a double negative.
Yes, it was. There was a lot going on.
Yeah, no, I think they're going to be, I think the way they are looking at it is great. It's funny, they're the only one of the eight series where the two teams playing each other are in the same division. It's the only one of the eight where there's knowledge. The other seven, the teams haven't played each other all season long, whole different situation.
I believe it was Yates who said, think like a genius, communicate in the language of the people. 660 this September 28th, 2020. Before we let you go, what other series besides the Dodgers, because you're calling it, what other series has captured your interest the most? Because if you're a baseball fan, like, this week is absolute gold, Jerry.
It really is. And we've never seen anything like it. Like, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday are going to be sensational. I am very interested in the Cincinnati Reds. I think the Cincinnati Reds are the team you don't want to play. Like, if this is an NCAA tournament, they're the 8 seed that the 1 doesn't want to see. They're the 12 seed that the 5 doesn't want to see, that sort of thing. Their pitching is so good. And their starting pitching is so good, and I really think they can hit too. And I think they could easily beat Atlanta, easily beat the Cubs. I look around, and honestly, I don't know what series to me feels like a walkover, like a done deal. Maybe the Dodgers and the Brewers would be the one that I would say would be like that. But I think Cincinnati's a really, really dangerous team. And I will tell you, I'm intrigued by the Chicago White Sox. Like, the Blue Jays are young and fun, and so are the White Sox. They've got a lot of the same groove going as the Blue Jays do. I think their pitching's a little further along than the Blue Jays is, and that's why they might be a little bit better. But the White Sox and the Reds, I think, are two teams that really intrigue me.
And side note, Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur seem to be getting along just fine. It's interesting what happens when you draft a quarterback in the first round like that.
So I started the drive last night, got to Syracuse. My son goes to Syracuse, so I listened to the first three quarters in the car on the way down, watched the fourth quarter in the hotel. I got to tell you, just speaking for myself and my son, we are pretty excited right now. Like, to go into New Orleans without Devontae Adams, got a couple of favorable calls, never hurts, but to go into New Orleans without Devontae Adams, come out with a win, 3-0. Vikings are 0-3 already. That's good news. Sorry to rash. Boy, that's funny how that slipped out. And I think they got a chance to be really good. They got to tackle a little bit better. Kamara set an NFL record for breaking tackles. He wasn't even breaking them. It was like they were just falling off him. But the defense needs a little work. But boy, the offense looks good so far.
Danny Boy, glad that you got here safely. Enjoy the games. I know that you're a baseball fan, among other things, like one of the greatest play-by-play guys in the world. So enjoy the baseball, because it is going to be fun.
Thank you, guys. I'll talk to you next week, I hope.
Yes.
See you, Dan.
There is Danny Shulman from Bristol, Connecticut, where he will be working for ESPN Radio. On our side of things, Buck Martinez, Joe Siddle, and Hazel May.
That Kamara run he's talking about, it was like watching two guys play Madden and one dude just dropped his sticks.
No, it was
like
it
no was, one was trying, like nothing was happening. He just kept going, bouncing off people.
Bo Jackson, Tecmo Bowl.
Yeah.
I know the reference is a little old. Bo Jackson, Tecmo Bowl.
Like the third Bo reference of the show, though. I detect a theme to me. I detect a theme. By the way, you didn't ask, but I'll tell you, the Cubs Marlins first round series. Like, the Marlins had 18 guys test positive for COVID.
Yeah, how the Marlins made this is...
this is unbelievable. And the Cubs, Tim, if the Cubs don't win this series, there's going to be some major changes with that organization. I know Joe Maddon left last year, but you get the sense this is going to be a transition period for the Cubbies. That's another one worth watching. Definitely.
All right, let's take the break because Jim Houston is around the corner. The Stanley Cup is in the building. Will the Stanley Cup be handed out tonight? Will the Tampa Bay Lightning be the first team since 1937 to capture said cup without their captain on the roster? These are the things we will examine. Jim Houston, next, right here. I'm Tim and Sid. The great play-by-play callers continue on this edition. Next. Man, this is fun. I am going to miss all the sports when they go away. Because right now I'm just feeding off of all of the stuff that we have right now. The cup could be awarded tonight. All of the baseball that you could ever possibly want in the next 3 days. We have MVP versus MVP tonight in the National Football League. And oh, by the way, the NBA Finals get started on Wednesday. I may go through withdrawal when all this is over.
And add to it this month, Timmy, what could be the wildest NHL offseason we've seen in a long time.
Okay.
I'm seeing Jack Eichel's name thrown around today. I'm seeing Patrick Laine's name thrown around all weekend. This is going to get interesting. And who knows what the – I mean, Doc Rivers has got fired. Who knows what the rest of the NBA offseason is going to look like?
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Let's – I don't want to think yet about early December, Timmy. Let's still enjoy it while we have it. And we still have the Stanley Cup Final to enjoy tonight. Game 6 goes this evening on Sportsnet, and CBC coverage begins at 7:30 Eastern. Jim Houston will have the call from the bubble in Edmonton. He will join us in a second. But for those of you that missed a rather dramatic Game 5 from this past weekend, Tampa were oh so close to lifting their second Stanley Cup, but the grizzled vets were extra grizzled. Take a look and a listen.
The first elimination game of the Stanley Cup Final, one team has a chance to win the cup. The other team's in survival mode. Braden Point gets over the line. He's got Palat with him. Kucherov's right there. Sergachev fires a shot. He scores! How's that for excitement? Tampa Bay has a 2-1 lead. Sagan to Hiskinen. His shot. They score! A rebound to Joel Pavelski. And it's a tie game with 6:45 to go in the third. Game 5 is going to sudden death overtime. Out to Klingberg. Walks the line. Takes the shot. Hit a body. Corey Perry trying to stuff the puck in. He scores! And the Dallas Stars are still alive. There will be a sixth game in the Stanley Cup Final on Monday night.
I keep shaking my head. I don't know how the Dallas Stars are doing it, and I'm not sure the Tampa Bay Lightning know how the Dallas Stars are doing it, and a few other pretty good teams along the way. Joining us now to discuss is the man who will call the game on CBC and Sportsnet, Jim Houston. Game day join on the night that the cup could be handed out. Jim, we really appreciate you doing this.
My pleasure. With all of this sports going on, have you forgotten that there's nobody there?
You know how I'm noticing it? I think it's affecting performances in the NFL. I think there are certain players we're seeing, quarterbacks specifically, if there was a crowd in play, I don't know if they'd be putting up the numbers that we've seen, because some of the numbers we've seen, we've never seen.
I saw that yesterday too, in some of the games where the quarterback could actually be heard.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Aaron Rodgers had a bit of a field day with that yesterday in New Orleans. But honestly, as long as I got yourself and Chris and Breen and the NBA guys, I've felt at home. I felt a bit more at home with the games in actual arenas like the NHL's been doing. NBA, I need to get used to a little bit, but I've grown accustomed to it. I know financially the leagues have not, but me on my couch, Jim, I've grown accustomed. What's it been like calling games without it in there? How big an adjustment was that for you?
It was really weird early. It's you know, when the game is on, so I guess what I've noticed in most of the sports that I've been watching, and in particular this one, I'll give the players all the credit in the world, because there is great integrity in the games that they're playing, as Gary Bettman wanted. There is legitimacy. They are pounding each other. This is the Stanley Cup Final the way we've seen it every year. There's just nobody there. The only time I notice it really is, we take a TV timeout or we get to the intermission. I take my headset off and I look around and think, oh my goodness, there's only 10 of us here. it's just really odd. And I hope we never have to do it again. But on the field of play, in many of the sports, and in particular this one, the game itself has been excellent. So good for the players.
Yeah, agreed. Has anyone in the scribes that are there like turned to you after the first intermission? Hey, good call, Jim. Like, they could probably hear you.
You know, they probably can to a certain extent. I know that they can hear some of the stuff that's going on the ice. Unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, at home you don't get to hear it. But it must be really odd down on the ice, because, you know, you don't have to shout over a crowd to be heard. And a lot of it's kind of neat, actually. Some of the chatter, it's not all obscene chirping. You get to realize just how much staccato talking there is on the ice. You know, it's over, 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 reverse, reverse. There's guys talking to each other constantly. So there's a barrage of noise down on the ice. It's just not what people might expect. You know, there's no soliloquies. You can't do that when you're going 25 miles an hour and can't catch your breath. So it's all little short stuff, but there's a lot that you can hear that otherwise you never would.
I'm just in my mind thinking of the moments where somebody on the ice looks up at you and says, I turned it over because I got slashed, Jim. Thanks for mentioning that. That's why I turned it over.
Jim one Houston. Of the interesting things is the discussion with the referees. Right. It's all first name basis for the most part. And it's more discussion than, and sometimes it's in anger, but there's been a lot of that that I've heard that's quite interesting. It's almost like the referee's in play. He's a regular guy that they know really well. And they know they'll give him heck or butter him up or whatever they have to do. But he's just another guy that's on the ice and is part of the game.
Jim Houston joining us here on Timbers. Oh, sorry. The working Jinx. From the basement. Yeah. The working from the basement on a 1 second delay getting in our way as it has occasionally here. Jim, I'm not sure I expected a 34-year-old Anton Khudobin, a 35-year-old Corey Perry, and a 36-year-old Joe Pavelski to be the stars for the Stars in the second half of back-to-backs in the Stanley Cup final. But this is 2020. What stuck out to you the most on Saturday night?
Oh, boy. Well, first of all, Khudobin, if Bilbo Baggins played goal, that's what he would have looked like on Friday. Khudobin looked like he was tired, and he was flopping all over the place, and I thought this could be really bad 20 hours later when he comes back on Saturday. But he was crisp and really good all through the game on Saturday, and so that was one thing I noticed. But, you know, that I guess the beauty of guys like Pavelski and Perry is not only that they have experience and they have multiple years of it, but in their mid-30s, they are the same players they were 10 or 15 years ago. Like Corey Perry started his career playing this way, in the goalie's face, earning his money around the blue paint, just being a pain in the butt. And that's exactly what he's been in this series, and that's exactly what he was on Saturday night. He got to the blue paint. He was around the net. He actually scored a goal from distance, which was a bit of a surprise to me. but the goal that he scored to win it was just vintage Corey Perry. He's the same guy. And Pavelski can still skate. So he's getting there, and he's playing a lot. He's winning faceoffs, and he's scoring the kind of goals that he always has scored. You know, he's got a couple of tip-ins, but he's around the net all the time. So I guess that's pretty cool to see that those guys, we call them gray beards or grizzled vets, but I'm in no position to call a guy in his mid-30s a grizzled vet or a gray beard. So I just think it's really good that they still play the way they always have, and they're never out of a game because of that. And they lead everybody else into the fight. So if you think about some of the things that Dallas has done through this playoff, when they were almost down 3-1 to Calgary and salvaged that because of Joe Pavelski, they were just about out of the Colorado series, or could have been out of it. But those guys were a big part of comeback victories in that one. Vegas, had they not been a big part of the comeback victory, Vegas could have got back in that series. It was just odd because I kept waiting in that series for Vegas to end it because they were outplaying them, it seemed, so badly. And then in this one, it kind of happened again. I mean, you think about the first overtime on Saturday night and how dominant Tampa was, but they couldn't put them away. And that's kind of been the story of the playoffs. They have these periods of time where they just get pummeled, but they collapse to the net, they get through it, and then they start playing again, and they pull them out of the fire. So it's kind of been the way they've been through these entire playoffs. Nobody thinks they can win, but they just keep hanging around. So I'm not willing to suggest that they're going down tonight.
Jim Houston, Hockey Night in Canada, in Edmonton, Game 6 Stanley Cup Final tonight. And yes, in his previous answer, you did hear a Bilbo Baggins reference from Jim Houston. The
that
irony, considering considering Tampa is trying to secure the precious. That's a terrible impression. I'm sorry. That's going to get cut up.
I wondered what Lord of the Rings reference you were going to go to there. But
I should have said Lord of the Rings, and Tampa's hoping to get theirs tonight. I should have left it there. I did impression of Schmeagol, and it was just awful from the Jim, I'm sorry. You have not been in a bubble for 2 months to hear bad impressions like that. You deserve better. I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It's good to hear anything from the outside world.
you know what? Let's land there for a second, if I may, because we're all – I know you're doing what you love, Jim, and you were born to do this. The level of isolation, I don't care where you are, I don't care what you're doing, it's there. And obviously with you and the crew, it's been there. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. You see, so I'm not actually in the bubble. So that has been good. I'm in my own kind of bubble because the crew is actually in the real bubble, our technical crew. we gain special dispensation so that I can live in an apartment. I can go out and get my groceries. I can go out for a run. I just go in, get a temperature check, go to one level of the arena, broadcast the game, and then get the heck out. But it's, you know, when you're used to traveling for all these playoffs with a whole crew of people that you get together with and debrief after the game, or you go out to dinner with in the off days, it's just really unusual to, you know, I'm cooking spaghetti and meatballs for myself. And darn tired of it, I might add. So it's just a really different, but it's the COVID life, right? It's been going on since March for most of us. You guys are broadcasting from your basement. It's just a different world. So I hope we never have to do it again. I applaud the league for pulling this off and having 9 straight weeks of no positive tests. Yeah. What they've done and what they're going to pull off here in presenting the Stanley Cup is unique. It's fantastic that they've been able to do it. I just hope that we never have to do it again.
Here. On both accounts. You've been around hockey long enough. And do you think belief amounts to something in a spot like this? Like I was saying earlier, I have no qualms saying that I think that Tampa is the better team. And we love this word fate in and around sports. I don't know if it's fate. I don't know if it's belief. Whatever the heck it is, I think Dallas has it. Am I romanticizing a game that I love with no real backing proof? Or do you see this, too, in whatever Dallas is doing here?
I think belief can be everything. Like, if you let doubt creep in anywhere, then you're in trouble. Other teams will feed off that. Somebody asked John Cooper today about, you know, if guys might think ahead at all about what could happen at the end of the night. And he just, I'm paraphrasing, but said, you know, you can get in real trouble if you let a distraction, if you have a distraction. It can be fatal in a series like this. So, and it's funny, I talked to Scott Niedermeyer, who knows a little bit about these kind of things. Mm-hmm. And he said, mentally at this point, it's everything. It's all in your head now because everybody's in great shape. You're not practicing anymore. The strategy is all set. It's all a mental game right now. And so that's the interesting part of this. Tampa has shown through this series, through these playoffs, that they're a very different team. They used to be the greatest show on ice, as Cooper called them. And, you know, they'd get up by a goal and guaranteed they'd go hunting for the next one and give one up. This time they're ready to play. The 3-2 game they won in game 2, they just locked it down in the third period, and they've done that a few times in these playoffs to win one goal game. So in that sense, strategically, they're a different team. We'll see what their mindset is, and we know and we've watched how resilient Dallas can be, and they just won't go away. They haven't so far, and I don't think they will tonight. So it's mentally who's ready for this, and physically, that's the other part of this. I mean, Dallas is banged up, but everybody's hurting at this time of year. And we are playing the fourth game in 6 nights, it's 3-4, and it is for both. And I'm really interested to see who's got their legs. And that's not a guarantee for either team tonight.
Yeah. Jim, finally, I don't know how often you've crossed paths in the bowels of Rogers Place with Steven Stamkos day in and day out. But what's he thinking tonight?
Oh, I bet that he's mixed in the sense that he really badly wants his team to win. Because make no mistake about it, he's a big part of this team. When they put this team together, you go back to the Steven Stamkos draft of 2008, and then you start adding the pieces from there to get to 2020, and the best chance that they've had to win the Stanley Cup. So he's aching for that, just as if he was in the lineup, guaranteed. But I bet he's nervous as can be. Because it would be probably the easiest thing he could do is get out and fly around like he did in the game that he played in the warm-up, get into his equipment, get hit, score a goal, block a shot, get into the game. But I can't imagine the mental anguish he's going through watching his team go through this and being unable to participate. But you watch. If they win the Stanley Cup tonight, he will be the happiest guy in the entire building.
Do you think he'll receive the Stanley Cup? And do you think he'll do it in a uniform? Like, have you heard anything about if he
haven't
will
heard
put
anything,
the...
but yeah. I haven't heard a thing, but I'd be really surprised if he didn't come out on skates in equipment to accept the Stanley Cup and hand it to Victor Hedman.
Yeah. Yeah, especially the way his teammates reacted when he scored the one goal in the 2:47 that he played in this series.
It is, and that will go down as one of the most legendary 2:47 in hockey history if they win the Stanley Cup. But they have
Tampa's already got shirts with 2:47 ready to go. They already got a bunch of T-shirts in the bag.
Guaranteed.
They're going to trademark it. They're going to trademark it.
Yeah, it's just another one of the most interesting things that has happened in the last 2 months.
Listen, Jim, we've kept our distance here because we know what the workload has been like and how odd this situation has been. And we really appreciate touching base with you this close to the finish line here. Give Craig and everyone our best, and enjoy tonight again. Excellent job, sir. Excellent job.
I will. I'm really warm right now because I'm still in my apartment. I've got my long johns on, and I've got my down coat ready to go to the coldest games that I've ever broadcast in my entire life, including outdoor games. Here's another reference from the past. If the crews of the Erebus and Terror on the Franklin Expedition had a hockey game, I feel like I was there broadcasting it.
Little chilly. They've been playing a lot of hockey in those arenas. Jimmy, have a great call. Hopefully you get a game winner late or in OT, and you get one of those moments. We'll be watching.
Thanks a lot, guys. It'll be great.
Take care.
There is Jim Houston. And for those who don't know, I know that a lot of play-by-play guys and girls get accused of having a favorite in a game. Here's the truth. None of them cheer for any of the teams. They cheer for the greatest moment possible. They are looking for the one that you will remember forever. What they cheer for is the greatest story that you can possibly find, which is why Stamkos's moment will stand forever, and which is why when you get those moments late in a game, it's what play-by-play guys dream of.
Correct. I think the context there is important. By the way, did Jim say he's wearing jogging pants or long johns? What did he say he's wearing? I'm wearing long johns too as we speak, actually. I don't think anyone wants to see that, but I'm living the Jim Houston life as well, so it makes me feel good.
Okay, I got it. So I'll show underneath, you. No. Sure. You're wearing long johns?
Yeah, I'll show you.
Those are pajama pants.
These are thermals, dude. I took them to Ottawa for the outdoor game.
Sid is showing me a rather awkward part of his body in order to tell me what.
Don't act like you're not impressed.
We're gonna take a break. When we come back, hopefully the camera shots have changed here on Tim and Sid as we close out. Sid, move the camera.
No, looking good.
I'm gonna puke in my mouth.
Ladies, I'm taking
it. Sportsnet TV and radio.
Come on, let's be honest here. You haven't taken off pajama pants for 4 months.
It's been a while. Like every other weekend, I'll put on jeans. Which I think is a good ratio. When was the last time you wore jeans?
Seriously. I haven't worn jeans since the pandemic started.
I've gotten in my jeans. Got my jean game on.
I got my jean game on.
You know what I'm saying?
Is that what the kids are saying these days?
Were people that offended at me just showing what pants I was wearing? Like I didn't think I was doing anything that offside.
If you're watching on TV as opposed to listening on radio, you zoomed in on your junk. We all knew it.
I didn't zoom in on anything. It just kind of wanted to make an appearance. Like, I can't control it. Like, it's there, right? I just want to show you the pants. Jim Houston mentioned his pants.
I don't know what Vinny Scent means by this, but he just sent a picture that says on Twitter, Tim and Sid only fans. What does that mean?
I don't know. Is it dirty?
William says, sure. Those are not long johns. Typical Toronto bleep. In Northern Ontario, those are called PJs. You're
all
soft.
Right, listen.
Listen, William, I completely agree with you. I called them pajama pants, all right?
Ridiculous.
They were.
I'm telling you what they are. If no one wants to listen, that's fine. I'm telling you, these are thermals. These are warm as you know what.
I did bring him up to Ottawa specifically for the live shows we did on Parliament Hill. Mm-hmm. These are the warmest things ever. It's not. You think I would just buy flannels? What am I, in second year university? Come on. Yeah, you gotta go bigger than that. These things are warm. They serve a purpose. I'm sitting next to a fridge here, a beer fridge. I got to keep everything just at a good temperature.
Trevor Gear writes in. He calls himself Gersky on Twitter. Says, when did Sid get an OnlyFans account, and why was he giving a free preview? Hashtag my eyes. Goggles do nothing. Hashtag flannel. And if you don't know what OnlyFans is, team members has sent it to you on your phone. If you want to go have a look.
Oh, so I can make money. Okay, good to know.
So I don't normally
market for that for a while. Might as well cash in on it.
I don't normally do this. Yeah, it's been a big market for a while. I think you're just missing the big part. I don't normally do this, but there is so much going on in the world of sports. Like, honestly, like if you're a sports, and I get it, people are distracted by other things going on, and I understand why you're just, if you're just taking in the cavalcade of sporting goodness that we have been gifted here, what's the one thing we haven't talked about during this 2-hour show that you feel the need to get to before we hand it off to the next schedule?
Can I throw two in there very quickly? Because there are two. Thank you for bringing that up, because there's been too much stuff. One, I mean, Bayern Munich and Man City getting pumped over the weekend was not something I expected to see. That's the one thing. We don't normally have time for that kind of talk, but I did want to throw that out there. Two, Israel. Shout out Richie Larea. What a goal for TFC last night. Amazing. And Israel Adesanya, middleweight champion for the UFC, destroying Paulo Costa. Like, destroying. He is pound for pound. He's better than McGregor. He's not as good as Khabib, but he's like number two or three pound for pound. What a performance on Fight
Danced
Island
on him,
over
right?
the weekend.
Danced on him,
he did,
literally.
He did something at the end of that fight that I thought was really, really offside, and no one really mentioned it. And his corner didn't do anything about it. And Israel Adesanya, he is living his best life. He is doing what he wants. He is right there. He's right behind Khabib for pound for pound on the pound for pound list. The guy is incredible. And he's got that attitude. He's got everything you want in selling a fight from a technical standpoint, from a showmanship standpoint. Tim, these are the guys Dana loves. So those are the two things I do want to throw out there. The Adesanya performance on Fight Island and some major upsets in soccer over the week. Huge upset.
Chris, Sid's lounge pants are still better than the ones he wore to do his track bit. Tim writes in and says, well done, Sid. I dare anyone to stand up on their Zoom or WebEx calls. You know they all have PJs on. Can you hear Snoop barking in the middle of all this?
Did he not like it either? It sounds like he wasn't a fan of my pants.
Yeah. And Frank writes in and Sid says, Sid can be your private dancer. Dancer for money. And there's a shot of the great Tina Turner.
Private dancer. Dancer for money. Tina Turner. Look it up, kids. She was amazing. What's Love Got to Do with It? Still a banger. Still a huge jam, What's Love Got to Do with It. Fantastic. So that's it for us, Tim. We're done at least for a couple of days. If that J-Series goes to a third, I don't know what our Thursday schedule is, but we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. Again, Cup Final could end tonight. Ravens, Chiefs tonight. All the baseball tomorrow. My goodness gracious.
Enjoy it. Enjoy, honestly, Timmy, enjoy it.
It's going to be fun. Hear. Yeah. What he said. He's Tim McAuliffe. I'm Sid Sixero. Nice job, Timmy. Good show. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening live on TV and radio. And considering everything that's going on in our country right now, we used to end the show with the Minister of Health in Quebec, Dr. Horacio Arruda. Mm-hmm. Considering some of the numbers we're seeing, Timmy, let's just for the moment go back to that and remind people that, especially nowadays, you should always...
Wash your hands. Washing your hands.